Well, this morning, for a short devotion, I'll be reading from Isaiah 8. And I saw on Reverend Fraser's handout, it says, "Be real." And I'm talking a little bit on that, about counterfeits and real. And this past week, we had a Bible study, and George Elias had brought a collection of stamps that he had told me about, and I wanted to look at. And it was on... It was a Bible-themed stamp collection, very interesting. And then he showed me two stamps that he had that appeared to be identical. And he asked me, what's the difference between these two stamps? And after I looked at it for a little while, I said that I couldn't find anything. I thought I saw something, but I was just seeing something. I couldn't see what the difference was. And then he brought out a black light, and he shone it on the two, and one... On the outside, it glowed. On the other one, it didn't. He then said that the one that's glowing, that's the authentic one. The other one that doesn't glow, that's the fake one. And so you see that how the light shining upon there reveals the truth, and it reveals the authentic one. And that's how we have to be in our lives, and that's what God does in our lives. He reveals the truth, and in our world of misinformation and false doctrines, false preaching of false Jesuses in a false spirit. How do we spot those counterfeits in our lives? I also heard once a guy talking about using the money, using Specter on finding counterfeit money. And they asked him, "How did you become so good at spotting counterfeit money? Did you have to study a lot of different currencies and see them as they came?" He said he didn't study the counterfeits, but he studied the original, the authentic thing, to the point where he knew by sight, not only sight, but by smell and feel and texture, what it was like. And that's how you determine the counterfeit. And this is our authentic word to stand on. If we know the word, we spot counterfeits quite easily. And so in Isaiah... I'll be reading from Isaiah 8, and in Isaiah 7, we know the very well-known sign that God gave of Emmanuel, that he would be born of a virgin. And then in Isaiah 8, it speaks of, God tells Isaiah that there's a coming war to Israel, but that God would deliver him because of Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. So they are to trust in God. And I'll be reading verses 16 to 22, the very end of that chapter, because it was a call to trust in the Lord. And so Isaiah 8, 16 to 22, "Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are the signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly beset and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall hunger, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold the trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." Isaiah starts by saying to bind up, to seal the word of God. It was to be in their hearts, written upon their hearts. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 says, "I will put the law within their inward parts and write it in their hearts." And we as spirit-filled believers trust in the word of God, and it's to be sealed and bound into our hearts as well. The Lord writes it upon there. And just as Isaiah was to wait upon the Lord, we too are called to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord means to be patient. It means to be humble. It means to be a servant. It means to be listening. And Isaiah goes on in verse 17 to say that, "Speak of the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob." we know that in the Bible, no human can look upon the face of God. Exodus 33, verse 20 says, "And he said, Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." It appeared to Israel that God hid himself in their disobedience. And yet God was always there. It was their blindness. If they would just turn to him, call upon him, he was there. And we are to be found waiting and looking for the Lord's return in the present day that we live. The Bible says to wait for the adoption, the redemption of your body. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. Isaiah, as a type of Christ, proclaims in verse 18, "I and the children whom the Lord has given me are a sign and wonder in Israel." They're to be a testimony. They're to be pointing to the Christ. Children of the Lord belong to Jesus, and they have always been used to tell and warn the unbelieving world. From ancient Israel all the way through the church age to today, we are to be that light, reflecting the true light, to warn others. But we are also to watch out for the false teachers, prophesying false signs and wonders. For that spiritual deception would increase and is definitely about the world in this world today. Isaiah calls out those of his time who sought out familiar spirits, and in my Bible it says, and wizards, speaking of the necromancy, of to call up a dead, to call up a spirit. And you look at the life of Saul, King Saul, who after Samuel had passed away, he was in distress. He didn't trust in God. And so he turns to these familiar spirits. And he finds out a woman from Endor, as we read in 1 Samuel 28, to call up the spirit of Samuel. This is something that he knew was wrong. He even forbade it. He put it in law that they were not to practice this. And yet he did it himself, because he was not willing to trust in the Lord. He didn't have the law written upon his heart. And this type of evil activity continues today. You just have to turn on your TV and you see these commercials for movies or television. There's all sorts of demonic and evil spiritual activity. These shows that are promoting it out in the public, out in the open. The world is desiring something spiritual, but they're not looking to the Spirit of God. They're not looking to be born again, to be led by the Holy Spirit. They are blind to the law and testimony of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. They don't study or even know the Word. They are in spiritual darkness with no light. And what communion has light with darkness? There is none. And whenever you substitute a fake with the original thing, you're left unsatisfied, you're left wanting, you're left hungry, as it says in verse 21. It says that they are of no use and are hungry, but refuse to feed on the truth. Instead, they feed on lies, which do not satisfy. If you think of any time you've hungered, physically haven't eaten for a while, and if you don't have self-control, you can easily be given to anger. You think of those, I believe they were Snicker commercials, where they always showed a guy that was hungry, and he'd get all cranky, and all of a sudden they'd give him a Snickers. They'd say, "You need a Snickers," and then they'd turn back into the original person they were, and they'd calm down. That's how we can be. And that's how spiritually the world is. It's like Isaiah writes that because of their hunger and anger, he says that they curse their king, they curse their God. It's funny that they'll deny Christ, they'll deny God, and yet when they turn to anger, they look up. They know that God resides in heaven. They cannot deny that fact in their hearts. And when they receive no answer from there, they look down, a upon the world. They are willfully dark, willfully living in the dark. And if they would only just turn to Jesus, they could have that hunger filled. Jesus says in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Their hunger could be satisfied if they'd only look up in humility and repentance, rather than in pride and anger. But instead, they look down, they turn their eyes back to the world, they turn their attention to the earth, where they only find dimness and anguish. They are driven out into darkness, awaiting judgment. And judgment leads to separation from God, the imprisonment of hell, all because they did not desire light. We know that hell has no light. It's a place of complete darkness and torment. It's amazing the effect that darkness can have. If you ever walk in the city in certain areas, you can walk during the day and feel very comfortable. But you walk in that same area at night, even though that there may not be any danger around, and you right away feel a little unsafe maybe, a little insecure. There's a level of uncertainty in the dark. But we are of the light and are called to walk in it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 to 6 says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Like the authentic stamp that I used in the beginning, having the light shine upon it, true believers will glow, reflecting the light of Christ that's working in their lives, while the counterfeits in the world will be revealed by the truth of God's word. And so may we continue to be filled with God's word, with the truth, and stand upon it, and be the light that God has called us to be in this world now and found waiting for our Lord's soon return.